Thanks for joining us on Against the Grain. It's your man, Teo Hardiman, Raza Siddiqui. We're here with I'll tell you this, Teo. So before we came on air, I was kind of watching a space launch that's supposed to go on today. They're actually able to coordinate this feat of engineering socially distant. I think the human mind can just do amazing things, like even separate, even distant. But one thing that we have to be cognizant of is that the mind needs, you know, it needs that interaction. It needs the compassion. It needs that social connection with other people. And that's why we have as a guest today, Dr. Denise Casey, right? We have Dr. Denise Yes. Casey, who's going to talk to us about how to get through these tough times. There's going to be another stay-at-home advisory that's coming in Chicago and Right. surrounding communities. The governor was saying a stay-at-home order might not be out of the question. We want to talk about how we can take care of ourselves mentally with all this going on. You can talk to us as well. 773-763-9278. And if you guys are listening, 773-763-9278. Dr. Denise Casey with Barrington Behavioral Health and Wellness is on with us. Dr. Casey.
Yes, hello.
How are you today? Kind of tell us some of the stuff that you're dealing with this great unknown, this great isolation that we have dealt with, but now we're going to have to deal with again going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of the hard part, that we went into social distancing back in March, and then in the summer we emerged for a brief time, and now we're having to go back. I think when it all first started, people thought that a month at home, that's doable, not a big deal. Some people even treated it like a vacation. And then as time went on, the reality set in. So it went from a sprint to a marathon. And I think that with the holidays coming up, this round of going back indoors and social distancing feels harder than the original. However, having said that, I think that people already have some of their coping skills in place and they have some of their routines established. Some people have even begun to notice what I call the COVID bonuses. Like, what are the payoffs to this crazy time that we're in? And people have cited to me things like they get to wear their slippers all day, or they only have to get dressed from the waist up when they're working remotely. They spend more time with their families, more time with their dogs. All of those things.
Dr. Casey, I'm going to ask you this, though. There's going to be a very different experience dealing with this next round with the numbers where they are, as opposed to what we dealt with in March, where you could go out, the weather was beautiful. We already know that there's people who suffer from seasonal depression, right? And now you have to kind of factor that in with the isolation, with the being in touch with family, and the cold weather outside. How is that playing into the people that that you're speaking with and the problems that you may or not be dealing with? Is it something that you think was going to exasperate the situation?
Well, whatever you've got, COVID made it worse. So if you suffered from seasonal affective disorder, you're going to feel it more intensely this season because of the lack of social interaction. If you had any tendency towards depression, you're going to feel that worse. Any tendency towards anxiety, wow. We are seeing anxiety symptoms and anxiety disorders skyrocketing right now. The whole pandemic has left us with a sense of feeling like we're helpless, we're out of control. And one of the most anxiety-producing things for us humans is not knowing what's going to happen. And
yes.
And we're struggling through that, not only with COVID, but with the election, right? People are wondering what exactly is going to happen. And so it's similar to when you're waiting for like a medical diagnosis. And no matter whether it's good news or bad news, there's some sense of relief when you know what you're dealing with. But when you don't know, that's when you're at the peak of your anxiety.
Well, you know, Dr. Casey, just want to ask you a quick question. T.O. Yeah. Hardiman here, the co-host here. I want to say this to you in regards to the overall, you know, stay-at-home order, you know, like people in the house 24 hours a day. Let's say you have a family of six or seven. You're in the house all day long. You might take a walk every now and then, but I know there's been an increase in domestic violence in some households, like, say, anxiety, stress, all kinds of disorders that may show up unexpectedly as well, because sometimes, what about people that don't know how to articulate or express what they're dealing with while they're staying at home. Some people just don't know how to talk about it so that they may act out in certain ways. Is that correct somewhat?
Yes, it is correct. And we have seen an increase in that. As you indicated, domestic violence has been on the rise. And we have hotlines available for that, so we encourage anybody who's going through that to reach out to a hotline for assistance. For those people that don't know how to regulate their emotions, one of the safest things to do is take a break, take time out. Hopefully people have some area of the house that they can go retreat to. And it's best that when things begin to escalate, to disengage, however that might happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something I've learned, you know, throughout the years, Brother Raza, I don't even engage in arguments with anybody anymore. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. Hey, we'll revisit this at another time. You know, cooler heads prevail, in other words.
Well, it's like Dr. Casey said, right? COVID seems to exasperate everything.
Yes,
what
right.
might have been something that might be easy to solve, yeah. it kind of gets exasperated in the echo chamber of your own house. And I notice even like back and forth on Facebooks are getting a little more volatile than they used to be just because people are frustrated. They want to do something. And we are going to actually talk with Dr. Casey and with all of you guys about different things that we can do to deal with the situations we're in from a mental health capacity. Looks like we have a caller. You can call us too at 773-763-9278, 773-763-9278. We have Sarah from Naperville on the line. Sarah, you're on with Tio Hardiman, Raza Siddiqui, and Dr. Casey.
Hi, Dr. Casey. Hi, Raza and Theo. This is Cyrus Haddad, actually. Raza, your wife. I wanted to call in just to kind of ask you guys a question. And I know, this is something that all of us are struggling with. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we have some kind of a way to kind of break up the monotony, break up the routine, because I find myself just kind of going through the motions every single morning, afternoon, and evening, and then it just seems like a Groundhog Day on repeat. So is there anything that you can kind of tell me and maybe some of our other parents that are out there that are working from home? How is it that we can kind of structure our day to kind of get the most out of it but still keep our sanity at the end of the day so it doesn't seem like we're stuck in the same thing?
That's a good question. It's a good question coming from Sarah.
Yeah, Groundhog Day. It's like Groundhog Day every day.
Yeah, maybe Dr. Casey can take it on a little bit and give us some feedback and some type of suggestions, Dr. Casey.
Sure, it's a very good question. And it is important to set up routine, and you have that. But sometimes routine can begin to feel boring and like you're saying, stuck in Groundhog Day. So one of the things I like to talk with people about is, how are you making memories? And can you do something outrageous or something silly or something fun? And laughter and fun are really important during this time, and we kind of have to do it on purpose if it's not happening organically. And all the things we used to do for fun, all of those outlets are curtailed, right? We can't go to concerts. We can't go to the movie theater. Now we can't go out to dinners again. So we have to find a way to create it within our own households. And so if you have children, maybe there's a special game that you can create, or a hide and seek or a treasure hunt or something like that to make things a little bit out of the ordinary. You know, I went from talking about stress management to self-survival and stress survival. So going back to the basics, are you eating right, sleeping right? And are you making sure that you connect with others? So when we talk about the social distance, there's a difference between social distance and loneliness. So have you ever had that experience where you could be in a crowded room and you still feel lonely? Or you could be in a relationship and still feel lonely? So we're wired not only to interact with others, but to have deep, meaningful connection. And we should all be making sure that on a daily basis, we are meaningfully connecting with somebody in our lives, whether that's via FaceTime or Zoom. Texting is okay, but there's something right now for human beings about the organic nature of hearing someone's voice, that familiarity, and even better if you can see their facial expressions and that interaction, that mirroring, that feedback. Is that helpful to you at all, Sarah?
Oh, that really is helpful. I mean, it's one of those things that I think I just missed having to hug my mom, or like little things like that that we're still continuing to struggle with. But that is really important to know that, you know, we can still continue to move forward as a family and just break up the little scavenger hunts or routines that we have going. So that was super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, because for myself, Raza, what I do weekly, I have a weekly routine.
Okay.
I work out. I go to the gym. You know, I'm there by myself most of the time. It's not a lot of people are coming to the gym, in other words. So I hit 10 or 15 sets of 10 with 145 pounds. Just reps, you know, trying to just tone myself.
Wait, so you're telling me no one's coming in there, so I can go there and actually I can bench. Now I'm not competing and waiting in line for this.
Now you don't have a lot of people at the gym at all. So
maybe you're going to get me in the gym after hearing this.
Definitely need to show up for sure. So I jog a couple of miles twice a week.
Yeah.
I hit the heavy bag for about 20, 30 minutes. And then what I do is I do a lot of push-ups, and I make sure then I sing a little bit. I'm not a professional singer, but I sing, you know, Dr. Casey, just to entertain myself, you know.
Do you do this when the gym is fully crowded, too? Or
No, not when the gym is fully crowded. But, you know, I sing outside of the gym, though. You know, what I do is at home, I sing. And then when I'm in the gym, I just, you know, do 15 sets of 10 with 145 pounds. Now, I can hit 225 and all that kind of good stuff. That's just for get the bulk weight. But right now, I just want to tone up. So I spend my time, and then I'm on a computer a lot. One thing I've had to do, all praises due to God and all the work that I've been doing throughout my life,
yeah.
I've had to transition my entire workload on Zoom. You know, I'm an adjunct professor. I teach. And then everything that I do, all my communication with all the contracts I have, everything is on Zoom. Everything is online. So, you know, that was a big, big leap for me personally, because I, you know, I'm good on a computer, but I had to become very technical, tech savvy, they call it. Tech savvy now. So, Dr. Casey, it was frustrated in the beginning, but now I have pretty much a handle on everything.
See, there's a COVID bonus.
Right. Well, Tio, and I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
You're an activist. You're used to going out there mobilizing people, invigorating people. You've shut down Lakeshore Drive.
Yes.
I'm a journalist, but I'm also a union vice president. My energy is to be talking to my people, to have that interaction, to really mobilize them. That's kind of changed, right? We have to do that in the filter of this online cyberspace, Zoom. How does it translate? Are you able to get people to have the same passion? Is this something you really have to learn to do differently? I mean, how do you cope to this new world? How do you do what you need to do in this new world?
Well, it's not as easy now, because when you're an organizer, that's why social media is so important. See, I utilize my social media to stay in contact with family, friends, and business associates and everybody in the movement, you know, like far as me being an organizer. So we do pretty good. You know, Saturday, I was invited to show up with some Latino brothers and sisters on the southwest side of Chicago. About maybe 50 people came out, but we practiced social distance. And so that was pretty good. So mainly everything is kind of transferred over to social media organizing, sort of speak. So organizing Zoom workshops, Zoom seminars, and Zoom town hall meetings. So that's what we've been doing lately, just to keep people energized and, or, you know, organized to a degree. So
Absolutely.
That's what I've been doing lately, Dr. Casey. So I'm talking this way because hopefully we can inspire people to, you know, step on up and get out their comfort zone. Because if you just stay, I have a motto in life, and then I let it go.
Yeah.
If you ever get knocked down in life, it's your duty to get right back up, because if you stay down
that's
too
right.
long, you may not have the energy to get up. That's right. So what I'm saying, everybody, is get up off their couch, do something, take a walk. If you're not used to exercising, read some books, do some writings. I've heard a lot of people say they've got a chance to finish writing their books. Dr. Case talking about a COVID bonus. You know, you get a chance to complete some of the other tasks that you really did not have time to complete once upon a time.
I think that makes perfect sense. I've noticed, and I can't be alone in this, that I've fallen into maybe some bad habits. You get bored, you're in the house, the wife's driving you nuts. I think Sarah's off the call right now. I might overeat a little bit. I might exercise probably what would be the opposite of a COVID bonus. So I think it's a great mentality that you have, Tio, that you're kind of challenging yourself to take advantage of going to the gym, being able to get at that bench press machine that always has the line, and maybe sing a little bit. Grace the wall, serenade the
That's
machines,
right.
Yeah, and
really... You know
really
That's
get
right.
at it, right?
Yeah.
And we are going to entertain more of these discussions as to what you guys are doing, what you might need help with. I think it's a very important topic to focus on mental health with all of this, because, again, it's weird, doctor. When you have a toothache, I had a toothache last week, my jaw was hurting. You go to a doctor, there's no shame in it. You go, you do what you need to do. But there seems to be a stigma, I think, when people are talking about mental health. And I think now more than ever, it's important to get over that and address it, because this is one of those things that, you know, you just can't ignore it, especially in a situation where you're isolated like this. What do you think, doctor?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, some of our terms that have been used over the years are somewhat derogatory and have created stigma. And right now we have to realize that one in three Americans is suffering from some sort of what we would diagnose as a mental health issue, which is in response to COVID. And so the good news is it's expected to resolve once we get past this period of time. The bad news is that you can be experiencing symptoms, and much like your tooth analogy, once you start to experience symptoms, sort of like a fever, when it starts running at 99, you take a Tylenol, the fever goes back down to normal. But if you like try it and tough it out and you wait, the next thing you know, you're going to be in the emergency room with 104 degrees.
Wow.
And then that takes a whole lot more on the to turn it back down to normal, right? So early intervention is best, is what I'm saying. And if you begin to notice that you're having some symptoms, by all means, do the self-help things. But if that's not working, reach out to someone. All the therapists these days are available on telehealth, and it's much easier access than it used to be. But I'm involved in lots of conversations where we are trying to break the stigma against mental health. There's just nothing wrong with it. We live in very stressful times. And I think everybody at some point in their life hits some lows, and coping through those is just really important to come out the other side resilient and healthier and having learned your lessons and stand stronger in the world.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear you talk about mental health, because I know a lot of people do not want to be associated with having any mental health problems or issues. And it's kind of taboo, especially, you know, me being African-American in the African-American community. A lot of my friends, I'm only basing off my own personal experience, do not want to be associated with going, you know, the words they use, you know, the connotation type of words like shrinks, or is going to see, talk to somebody about your mind. But Dr. Casey, I think it's one of the best things people can do, because everybody needs some form of counseling or another, you know, in some areas. You know, some people have a life coach, but mental illness is severe in some people's, let me just say, I guess this is what I'm trying to get to, Dr. Casey. How can you prevent mental illness? Like early, what are the early signs of mental illness, and how can you prevent mental illness becoming a severe case of mental illness if you can catch it in advance, so to speak?
Well, that's sort of $1 million question.
Yes.
That brings us to what is normal, right?
Okay.
What is normal? Most of us begin to notice when we start to function abnormally, right? We don't want to get up out of bed and go to work. We're more irritable. Our road rage is increased. We're drinking too much. We're not able to sleep. We're overeating, undereating. All of those are sort of the early detection signs.
Mm-hmm.
And if they persist over time, it will really interfere with your functioning. So kind of the classic picture of somebody who's depressed is laying on the sofa for a month, hasn't eaten, showered, or gone to work, right, and is completely non-functional.
Yes.
We would rather talk to somebody when they're starting to feel a little irritable and they're not sleeping well than, you know, waiting until they have to be hospitalized because they want to end their life. And not every person who feels a few symptoms is going to lead to that. But you want to address it. The other thing I want to say is about shrinks and so forth is, in the old days, people used to have so much community around them. They had their family. They had extended family. They had the church. They had smaller communities where everybody knew everybody. Our society's become so mobilized and so distanced that we don't have those people who know us lifelong who can give us the feedback. And oftentimes we're traveling in circles where we don't want anybody to know our business.
Yes.
And so there's nothing wrong with having somebody that you can talk to that is removed from all of that, but who gets to know you on an intimate and meaningful basis and can give you accurate feedback. And people sometimes joke with me, like, oh, you talk to crazy people. Are you evaluating me right now?
Hmm.
And my comeback is always, I don't talk to crazy people. I talk to normal people who are dealing with normal everyday issues.
Okay.
And it all happens on a continuum. Some are mild and some are extreme. And when people think of mental health issues, they make the mistake of thinking of the extreme. So
yes,
I'll
indeed.
Use this example, and then I'll pause. But when people think of the term alcoholic, they think of somebody drinking out of a brown paper bag on Lower Wacker Drive. they don't think about the business executive who is slugging down martinis after work at night, passes out, and then gets up and does it all the next day again. Right? We call them the high-functioning performers. But
and Dr. Casey, we will get back into that a little bit. We have to take a commercial break. If you're just joining us, make sure to call in. We have Dr. Casey who's talking about the mental health aspect of COVID and how we can take care of ourselves and be involved in that self-care. The number to call is 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. We'll get back with Dr. Casey and maybe hear Mr. Teo Hardiman sing for us as we come back from break.
Let's see what happens.
Right after this.
All right. So, yeah.
The minority groups in America are severely affected by COVID-19 due to health care and economic inequities. Chicago, now it's your time to make a difference in your community and join the fight against this global pandemic. Loretto Hospital, in partnership with Affinity Health, are seeking healthy volunteers to find a potential COVID-19 vaccine. Interested participants can call 877-L-TRIALS or visit ChicagoCOVIDVaccine.com to learn more.
Megan Financial is an independent retirement and financial services firm dedicated to the working men and women of organized labor. Megan provides straightforward, custom-fit financial advice and specializes in defined benefit and defined contribution pension plans, as well as participant and retiree health and welfare benefits. Megan Financial has the knowledge and experience to navigate the union member through all phases of life. Call 708-444-1090.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Office location at 5321 South 94th Avenue, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462.
Ever wonder about the story behind the story? Who are the people you watch delivering the news, filming the scenes, and putting pen to paper to tell the story you read in your morning paper? Tune in to Media Essential Workers on Facebook and YouTube to find out. With constant changes in the Chicago media landscape, one reliable source keeps track of the people bringing you the stories. Media Essential Workers, the premier live stream telling the story of the storytellers. Sunday nights at 7. Like, subscribe, and follow Media Essential Workers to find out about special shows during the week. Hosted by Raza Siddiqui, Media Essential Workers gets the story of the storytellers.
So, yeah, Raza's talked me into it. Sarah and Dr. Casey, we'll get right with you in a minute. They wanted me to sing us back in. So this is like old school tunes, OJ's, you know.
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Okay. You're my darling, darling baby. You're my sweet and tender love. You're a very special lady. I said you're everything I hoped and prayed for in a woman, and I'll give you my all. That's it right there, Brother Raza.
Yo, I walk into the gym and you're singing that, I'm walking right back out to you. But no, that was great, man. That was great. You got a talent. And what I really love is the song you selected, right? The Sweet and Tender Love.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what people are kind of missing now,
right?
Yeah, this online dating, everything else, everything that kept us kind of stable. Just meeting up with people, man. That's kind of, I think, what most people are missing, just that interaction with people.
No question.
And obviously, it's problems that need to be addressed, and that's why we have Dr. Casey on with us. As these numbers go up, there's a possibility we're going to have to get locked down again. There's this possibility that things are going to go back to how they were, but it's going to be colder. It's going to be darker. Like you said, these problems are going to be exacerbated. So the doctor's here to answer your questions about how we, as a society and as individuals, can get through this in a good way. Tio has a way to
it helps me out.
To kind of brighten things up, right? He's doing things the right way. Yeah. Going to the gym, singing. We want to find out about the healthy habits that we can have and how we can address mental health issues as well. Dr. Casey, what are you finding?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this. If you look at your personality kind of style, there's two types of people in the world, introverts and extroverts. Mm. The introverts are having an easier time of this. The extroverts are having a harder time. And so if you're an introvert, you get your batteries recharged by spending time alone. If you're an extrovert, you get your batteries recharged by being out among people. And so when you're out doing your gathering 50 people in the street, right, that revs you up. so you are more likely to be that extrovert. So knowing which style you are is important. So the extroverts are going to have to find ways to get out and connect in a socially distanced, appropriate way.
So are you saying that there's different ways that, people should handle based on what their personalities are? Within my children, I find that the ones who I view as introverts are kind of actually, I would say in a way, thriving in this situation. They're able to actually have interactions that they can't foster so well in this dynamic of doing it online, whereas the ones who are more extroverted are like, oh my God, what's the exact words? I can't wait till I'm just playing with my friends. That must be something you're seeing the adult version of, just in terms of the people that you're dealing with. People probably taking, kind of tell me how that's working out. Are you finding that clients that you have who have introverted tendencies are actually dealing with this much better, maybe even getting off of care, or how's it playing out?
Yes, I find that the extroverts are struggling more, and they're more likely to feel frustrated, maybe depressed, even angry. And they will be enriched and satisfied if they can get out of the house and somehow meet up with people. So I found some of my clients thriving during the summer when they were able to meet at outdoor restaurants and get together for outdoor workouts and so forth. The introverts, like you said, are more content. They like being homebodies. They like being alone. So they're happy reading their books or gaming or just doing things, you know, alone. They're more content, but the extroverts are having a harder time.
You know, I concur with you, Dr. Casey, because I'm more like an extrovert, okay? I'm the kind of guy that when COVID first hit, I was like, nobody's going to make me stay in the house. I don't care who talks about staying in the house. I don't care about no stay-at-home order. But what I'm scared of, Dr. Casey and Raza, is this here. I'm scared of becoming more comfortable staying at home now. Because once, you know, they find a vaccine, hopefully, and things get a little bit better, will people want to come up? Well, some people are going to have cabin fever. Of course, they're going to rush out there, you know, rush all the way out in society, do whatever they have to do. With me, I'm just scared that hopefully I won't be too comfortable just working online, staying at home all the time. I don't want to become one of them type of people.
You know, it's interesting you say that too. I'm an essential worker. I'm out there every day working, but then I'll come home sometimes, look at the kids and be like, did you guys even shower today? Like, I mean, did you even get up or do anything? And I can completely see that as something that you end up getting too comfortable in your environment, right? Yeah. The human mind is very resilient. We've been able to kind of get around the kind of dynamics of this and make it work for us. But then the human mind gets settled in its ways. And yes, I think that's probably a very valid concern. Doctor, do you find that happening? Do you find people that are becoming very reliant on maybe not leaving the house at all now? They're in this situation where they're stuck there. And I'm going to share a story right after I get your answer with that.
Yeah, we human beings habituate easily.
Exactly.
So in the beginning, when we had to go indoors and begin the social distance, it was a shock. It required a lot of mental energy to refocus our routines, learn technology, do things differently. Then we habituated into it. Now, when COVID is over and we have to go back out, we're going to have a reverse culture shock. It's going to feel really hard at first because we're going to have to readapt. Sort of like if you're used to driving an automatic and all of a sudden you go into a stick shift, right? You have to drive that stick shift long enough until it becomes automatic in your brain and your habits. So we habituate easily, but anytime we have to shift back, when you go back to the automatic, you're going to be looking for the stick. So that's kind of the easiest way I can say it.
No, that's a good breakdown.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm going to share this story. So I'm a broadcast union leader. And one of the things that the broadcast technicians had to deal with when the stay-at-home order initially happened across the country was sports had ended. So a lot of them weren't getting any work. So it was this uncertainty about when they'll work again, along with being stuck at home. There was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of fear, obviously. When sports started picking up, there was a phenomenon that I didn't even consider. But in talking to some of these people, I realized a lot of these guys got more work than they thought they would get when they worked in the NBA bubble. But what they came to find out was was they were supposed to be isolated there as well. They had to stay in their rooms. They couldn't interact with people. And there was a depression that kind of came with that, too. And that's something I didn't realize, that now they're in a situation where they're working but physically isolated. And again, this is a very different situation. A lot of them brought comforts from home, decorated their walls. But a lot of these companies actually ended up setting up televisits with various mental health professionals, because a lot of people were having these anxieties that they didn't even realize they'd have in order to cope. And it was just something I didn't think of. But I think you're kind of putting a little bit of light on it. What's it been like in terms of telehealth with people that you've talked to?
Telehealth, again, it was hard work to get the adaptation to the new normal. Most people have adjusted to it fairly well if they were technologically able to get on. The technology brings some gaps with it, right? You have connection problems, you have delayed responses, but for the most part, you're seeing and hearing and interacting with somebody. Clients at one point were given the choice to come into the office and follow all the COVID protocols. So they had to wear a mask, sanitize, get their temperature taken. Many of them opted to stay on telehealth because they wanted to be able to see the full face and talk freely without the mask. So I found that interesting.
That is very interesting. That's something, again, that you wouldn't expect, but I guess it's that humanity, again, in terms of getting to see the person they become comfortable with. They obviously have a relationship with you, and rather than introduce maybe the anxiety of going into another unknown situation and dealing with these protocols, you've now established maybe a more comfort zone from their own home.
But, you know, I was going to say also, it pays to have a pretty big house, okay, in situations like this, because you may not want to be around, you know, they're your loved ones, but you might want to get a little space sometimes. Because everybody might get a little irritated if you're around each other all the time. So I just feel blessed that, you know, I have a few things going, but a bigger house is definitely important. You go in the basement, cool out, go upstairs in the attic, go somewhere, just get you some, like, self-time. Meditation, Dr. Casey, I think is very important, too. I tell a lot of people, it's always good to meditate before making a big decision in your life, because you need some time just to think about it. And then one thing about the COVID-19 pandemic, all the bad things, I'll put them on the side for a second. It gives people a lot of time just to think. So as long as your thinking is proper thinking, you might be able to come up with, you might find out you might be a genius in the making. You might come up with an invention or something, you know, during this time, you know, like the vaccine.
Well, and I think one of the things that COVID has really shed some light on is people have reflected on what's most important to them. You know, it was sort of like we were driving down the highway and all of a sudden somebody hit the brakes.
Yes.
We had to stand still. And as an American society, we're not used to standing still. So some people have really been reflecting on what's more important to them. And I think that's been a positive outcome.
Because, you know, one of the most hurting things about COVID-19, when somebody passes away in someone's family, when you attend the funerals now, it's just sad because a lot of people cannot, attend the funeral, number one.
Right.
And, you know, funerals used to be packed, you know, like when before COVID. So that's a sad situation. I've attended quite a few funerals lately.
Yeah.
And it hurts your heart because, you know, that person was loved by many, many people. But everybody wants to be careful and the restrictions. And then even if you have like a relative that lives in a senior citizen's home, you cannot go see that relative. And if somebody gets hurt and they're in the hospital, you cannot even go visit your loved one in the hospital. That's some really tough stuff to deal with. I tell you right there, that would depress most people, and we just keep marching on. But how would you tell people to cope with being turned away to visit a family member in the hospital, Dr. Casey, and not being able to see a loved one in a nursing home? How would you tell a person, maybe how would they respond or deal with a situation like that?
Yes, well, I've had to deal with that personally as a psychologist who goes to those places, and we were cut out. I have two therapy dogs, and I bring them to the assisted living facilities to cheer people up, and we had to stop coming. We couldn't even do outdoor visits. So that was hard on us, to be suddenly cut off from those people who we know depend on us. Family members, we've had family members, we've had losses, we've had COVID deaths. And those are perhaps some of the most heartbreaking and excruciating cases and aspects of COVID. And it's affecting the mental health, the healthcare workers who are on the front line. I have nurses that I work with, and they're holding a phone for somebody as they're dying, talking to their loved one.
Yes.
And they go home with trauma as a result of that. I've had people going to the hospital just for normal procedures. They're dropping off their husband, and they can't go in, and they sit outside in the parking lot for 5 hours waiting for surgery to get
wow.
over.
Wow.
That's hard. So, you know, how do we get through that? Yes, we have to find our resilience and stand strong, like you indicated. But I think some of the things that help is, what are the things we tell ourselves, right? We have to talk positive to ourselves, and we have to rely on others. It takes a village, right, not only to raise a child, but for all of us to thrive in the world and to cope. And so reaching out to other people, talking about those feelings, talking about how hard it is, and yeah. let somebody hear you and be with you.
Yeah, plus I tell a lot of people when I talk to them also, you know, it's always about preparing for a rainy day. Now, this is where the financial question comes in at, because some people don't have enough finances to get through this COVID-19, right. you know, stay-at-home order. So I tell, there's a famous comedian who passed away, Richard Pryor. You know, he's a very funny guy. He once said it's better to have money than to need some money and not have it. I mean, real talk, though. You know what I mean? It's better to have it. The reason I say that today is because if you can put you some money up, if you work every week or whatever you do, just put something up, because right now it's a time when people really need some resources.
Oh, for sure.
And when you don't have it, that's an extra added layer of depression. When you cannot do what you need to do during this cold, just simply buying cases of water, okay? Simply buying some canned goods and being able to help one of your family members or a friend or whatever, it's hard to do nowadays. Okay. So I encourage people, do your best to put some money up, Dr. Casey. That's what I talk to people about.
Yeah, and you know what? We are going to talk about that and other situations, like you said, job security, right? Yeah,
yes.
People are wondering, can I call in sick? Is that going to affect my job prospects? There's that extra level of anxiety, loneliness, caring for elderly parents, people with younger children who now have to worry about childcare. These are some of the issues that I'm sure, Dr. Casey, you're dealing with that we've kind of heard about on the streets as well. Talking, we're going to get into some of these after this commercial break.
Are you interested in being one of the first participants in a COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial in Chicago? Affinity Health is currently seeking healthy volunteers who may be eligible for a COVID-19 investigational vaccine study. This will take place at the Loretto Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. We are looking for people who work as teachers, factory workers, retail workers, or anyone exposed to many people during their workday. Visit ChicagoCOVIDvaccine.com or call 877-L-TRIALS to learn more. That's 877-587-4257.
Megan Financial is an independent retirement and financial services firm dedicated to the working men and women of organized labor. Megan provides straightforward, custom-fit financial advice and specializes in defined benefit and defined contribution pension plans, as well as participant and retiree health and welfare benefits. Megan Financial has the knowledge and experience to navigate the union member through all phases of life. Call 708-444-1090.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Office location at 5321 South 94th Avenue, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462.
Ever wonder about the story behind the story? Who are the people you watch delivering the news, filming the scenes, and putting pen to paper to tell the story you read in your morning paper? Tune in to Media Essential Workers on Facebook and YouTube to find out. With constant changes in the Chicago media landscape, one reliable source keeps track of the people bringing you the stories. Media Essential Workers, the premier live stream telling the story of the storytellers. Sunday nights at 7. Like, subscribe, and follow Media Essential Workers to find out about special shows during the week. Hosted by Raza Siddiqui, Media Essential Workers gets the story of the storytellers.
A Against the Grain, Teo Hardeman, Raza Siddiqui, Dr. Casey. If you heard us in the last commercial break, you heard Teo give us a little flavor for the year.
Yeah.
Dr. Casey's here to give us a little flavor for the mind, kind of teach us how to cope with some of the difficulties that people are facing and are probably going to have to come to realization with as COVID-19 numbers are kind of going, unfortunately, in the wrong direction and through the roof. We're looking at potentially, at least there's an advisory right now to stay at home. There might be a mandatory thing coming up soon. The governor has hinted at that. So we really want to focus on what we can do to keep mentally sharp and really keep on top of our needs, do that self-health care. So, Dr. Casey, you've given us a lot of good advice, but one of the things we were talking about before is there's a lot of anxiety people have in terms of child care, obviously. Schools are not going on, so, you know, how do I take care of my kids while I have to work my essential job, while I have to report to work? What are some of the stresses that you've heard about with this, and how do you kind of navigate people through these uncertain times and kind of give them some ideas as to what they can do to assuage their concerns?
Okay, well, those that are home trying to work with kids in the house, that's a handful. Hmm. And what most of the experts have suggested is creating a predictable routine for everybody that everybody sticks to. So I've heard parents, everyone goes to their separate corners with their device, and they have to stay there for the time that the school is conducting the classes. So I have one person I'm thinking of in particular. She goes to her dining room where she works. The kids go to their bedrooms. They are on their devices. They're not to come out of their room for any circumstances. She periodically will go check on them to make sure that they're not goofing off in their room and they're actually doing their work. It's also important to give them...
I just want to share a story. Probably I shouldn't. But I'm just thinking about the whole everyone in devices in different corners. I somehow managed to get into my wife's board meeting and two classrooms in my bathrobe last week because I didn't even realize all that was going on, but kind of pointing in the direction I was walking into the kitchen. So that's one of those other things you have to be cognizant of. Everyone's routine's kind of changing, right? You walk into your family room, you got four cameras on you.
Yes. We live in a camera world right now. You know, there's a book that was written many years ago by a guy named Adam Toffler, something like that, Future Shock. It was a book titled Future Shock. You know, Dr. Casey, when the industrial era ended, how the technological era began. And then a lot of people got left behind because they could not make the quantum leap into the technological era. So what would we call the COVID era? You know what I mean? We call it's technological, but it's on a whole nother level right now.
And doctor, I do want to ask you about that. Is there going to be any long-lasting implications with this, with the children who are going through it? Like you said, there's a whole generation of children and just people who have had to now reevaluate how everything works. Do you guys anticipate long-term effects with any of this?
Yes, there's already some discussion about social skills and how those are being impacted, not whether or not they are, because they are. So how are they being impacted? And as we mentioned earlier, are people getting too comfortable behind their technology? So, for example, people used to pick up the phone and call one another, right? And then texting came out, and everybody is texting now. Mm. It's much easier and less intrusive to text than it is to pick up the phone and call. And so in this age, and again, like I said earlier, the habituation, we adapt. As human beings, we're very adaptable. So the kids growing up are adapting to life at home on devices, and what will happen when they're thrown back out there and they have to do a lot of interaction. So some of that's going to depend on where they are in the developmental cycle. So actually the little kids are doing better these days. It's the teens that are struggling because developmentally the whole process of being a teen is to separate from your family, attach to your peers, and get the heck out of the house. And that is being abruptly interfered with for them. And even if they are in the house on their devices, do they have privacy? Hmm. So a lot of the teens that we see want to come into the office because they want that privacy that they don't get. But we have had conversations and therapy sessions, people from their garages, from their closet in their room, from the basement.
Yeah.
So, What are some of the advice that you're giving to these teenagers who are struggling with, again, coping with this and realizing that this might be a little more long-term than any of us really envisioned it would be when we were told in March that we're going to have to deal with this?
Yeah.
So mainly, as far as the advice, go ahead, Dr. Casey. I'm listening.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, he was asking what kind of advice. You can ask again.
Kind of advice you would give to these teenagers who are trying to come to terms with this new reality we're all facing in terms of how much more prolonged this is going to be.
Right. To do the best they can on the technology, to take breaks away from their family when they can and when they're able to keep telling oneself this is temporary. This won't go on forever. We're seeing some hope on the horizon with vaccines and so forth. So stay as connected as they can to their peers and, by all means, reduce friction within the household.
Yeah.
Because that rebelliousness can start, and creating havoc in the household is just going to increase stress for everybody. And so parents need to be supportive of teens who want to get out of the house, go to the park, socially distance with their friends. I've even had some parents saying that they could have a couple friends over in the garage, socially distance. They've got people putting heaters in their garage so that they can have Thanksgiving out there. So people are creative. We've seen creativity, that's for sure. So I would give that advice. The younger kids, they need some time to burn off energy, and parents know that because we all have half the energy they do, right?
Now, I think this question here might be a little bit off the charts, just a little bit, because I noticed they want to really rush to close down the restaurants, right? And so in my mindset, is there any quantitative or qualitative data that you can point to, empirical, evidence, that you can point to that when people go to restaurants, COVID-19 can be transferred on a higher level? Because I'm trying to wonder why this is in my mind, why the restaurants are targeted, because we've lost the Cheesecake Factory. Not that I go to a lot of restaurants, I've gone to them, here there in the past and some.
I did like the Cheesecake
Factory. We've lost a few high-end restaurants, Dr. Casey. So is there any qualitative evidence why the restaurants were targeted? So, because all I hear about is closing restaurants, in other words, and bars. I understand the bars, don't get me wrong. I understand the bars, but these restaurants.
Yes, they did studies right when COVID came out, and they were watching where the outbreaks were occurring. And they did a demonstration where somebody had COVID at one table, and then there were three tables in a row after that. And the ventilation system was behind that first table, and it picked up the virus and swept across all these other tables. So that's why outdoor dining was okay. But indoor dining, it's the ventilation systems that have caused the problem.
We got Jim from Elgin calling in with a question, so we want to make sure that we get to Jim while we have time. Jim, you're on the air with Teo Hardeman, Raza Siddiqui, and Dr. Casey.
Yeah, well, tell Teo Hardeman, I'm his friend Jim from Facebook. We just started communicating a little bit. Anyways, I'm
right
from South Elgin.
Thank you, Jim.
thank you. My pleasure, my friend. Anyways, a lot of this COVID stuff is a bunch of garbage, and I think a lot of it, the way it's being handled, is wrong. Back in the old days when kids had chicken pox, they would get kids together so they could get the, spread the virus and get over it and get what's called herd immunity. And by keeping people separated, it's actually making the problem worse, and there's no way of reason for kids to be out of school. It's become very political when these teachers, will go back to school. We have to have, police reform or whatever involved as part of the stuff. It has nothing to do with COVID. And plus, the whole thing of keeping kids locked up, it's not good for them. A lot of people are committing suicides. There's a lot more problems with domestic violence. And plus, the laws of employment, they're saying in New York, 80% of the hotels may not reopen.
Wow.
There's going to be people left. And all this stuff is hurting people, all because of something that has a 99.9% recovery rate if you're under the age of 50. Mm. It's really stupid, in my opinion.
Thank you, Brother Jim. We appreciate your call. All the way. Right. Okay. Seems like we got another call. They're coming on in now.
Look at that. With 6 minutes left to go, let's get through as many as we can.
Yeah.
We've got another caller coming in on the air. We got Nick. Nick, you're on with Raza Siddiqui, Teo Hardeman, and Dr. Casey.
Nick,
hey,
you're on the air. Yep.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I just wanted to chime in. I feel like Jim from Under the Bridge, he seems to forget that this all could have been avoided had a federal response in March, even sooner, been a little bit more strong. We wouldn't be dealing with such these problems with these restaurants. And the other problem is we didn't take advantage of the warm weather months over the summer to prepare for the winter.
Okay. So. Makes sense, Nick. We appreciate your call. Yeah.
And wish everyone safe.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Case, we're going to leave it on a couple things. I want you to give some advice to people as we do enter these cold, long months coming up about how they can really take care of themselves. And then we want to talk a little about your practice and how people can get in touch with you should they need any resources. So leaving it to you.
Okay, so a couple things I want to say. One is that we can't manage the stress that we're under. We can't eliminate the stress we're under, but we can manage it. And so we have two parts to our central nervous system. One is what revs it up, and there's another part that calms it down. Most of us don't know about the part that calms us down.
Okay.
However, we have like an on-off switch with that if we use these following techniques. So if you do deep breathing techniques, meditation, yoga, tai chi, visualization, even stressing, listening to calming music, all of those things will activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which will calm down the arousal state. So it pulls you out of fight or flight. So I would say engage in some of those things that are calming, as well as, you know, find laughter, maintain your routines, watch the way you talk about what's happening, stay away from words always and never. Give up Murphy's Law thinking. You can train your brain to think things on purpose. And so look for hope, look for positive, look for the positive things that people are doing in the world. And, you know, I think all of this stress is added onto by the political environment, the mask wearing, not mask wearing, what we could have done, what we should have done, and, you know, some of the comments that were made. Yes, and we are where we are, and we have to move forward. And how do we unite? And how do we not escalate the conversation? How do we move the conversation forward? And that's a personal responsibility that we each have.
Thank you very much, Dr. Denise Casey with Barrington Behavioral Health and Wellness. Thank you very much for joining Tio Hardiman, Raza Siddiqui on this very important discussion about how we need to take care of ourselves mentally as we go into this next phase of whatever it is we're going through. We thank you guys for joining us. Tio, do you want to sing us out or do you have anything
to say? Dr. Casey, since she actually stayed on the line during the entire show, I wouldn't mind singing to you, Dr. Casey. It's like a touch of soul here. It's a song by a guy named Kim, okay? Artist of today's world. Here it goes. Makes any difference. I'm still in love with you, girl. You're my weakness. You change my world. Share my life. Share. Hey, girl. You can trust in me, Dr. Casey. You're all I need, baby. You're everything I need. Ooh, baby. I just put that in there, you know. Trying to have you a little fun, Dr. Casey.
The one and only T.O. Hardiman. Raza Siddiqui. We'll catch you next week on Against the Grain. Talk to you then. Bye.